again, you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. And we have a guest on the show right now. Hello, are you there, guest?
Guest is here.
Who are you?
I was Bill Mullen when I woke up this morning. I'm assuming nothing has changed.
You still are Bill Mullen? And Bill Mullen, since you're Bill Mullen and you've been on an Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show before, please move closer to the mic because you have some more information to reiterate to the people. Yes, by me making that allusion, it indicates that Bill has been on an Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show before, helping coordinate Philip Random's 1,111 greatest records you never heard.
Probably have never heard.
Please explain what happened last time on a Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show and what you're doing today and what exactly is randophonic.blogspot.ca.
That's a lot to answer to. Randophonic.blogspot.ca is a website that is the backup for the radio program that is Randophonic, that every Saturday evening in some part of the world broadcasts. And since November 2011, we have been working through the list, the All Vinyl and Apocalyptic, as Mr. Random referred to it.
1,111 of the greatest records you probably never heard. And this whole concept was developed because you found some paperwork and are going through Philip Random's notes. You are not Philip Random. Who was Philip Random? Some guy on some island and you found his notes. And now we're playing the songs that he suggested to the listeners out there in Radio Land again.
Yeah, basically it's a list of stuff he left really for his daughter. That seemed to be what he was indicating. But he's an old friend. Like, I knew him way back in like 1980 we met. We were both cab drivers. So we kind of... on the north shore of the terminal city, Vancouver. So it goes way back. And, you know, we kind of knew each other off and on for various points in time. And anyway, he disappeared right around 9/11, which you can read into what you wish. I think it has nothing to do with it because he didn't like crowds. So why would he be in New York City? Anyway, but he did. The feeling is it had more to do with agricultural activities that are kind of popular on the West Coast. And, hasn't been really heard from since, although we've heard a few rumors that he's around, but obviously not wanting to be found.
And you have this great document of Philip Random's favorite greatest records, 1,111 greatest records you never heard. And you were at the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, I guess, a couple months ago, bringing out a bunch of records. And here we are again. How is the countdown going? Because, again, this is a countdown. Your radio show is doing a countdown to 1,111 greatest records you never heard. How close are you to getting to number one on your actual countdown? And, again, people can access your countdown. Down Bill Mullen at randophonic, phonic .blogspot.ca. Where are you on your countdown?
As of June 1st, we're going to have 38 songs to go, which means that June 8th will be the last program. So the last about 20, 23 songs are going to get played June 8th. We're that far. We're inside the top 40 all-time greatest records you probably haven't already heard. In fact, we just heard one of them right there. That's what the show began with.
An amazing Steppenwolf tune. Yeah. Not the Steppenwolf tune that I thought you might play, the classic Steppenwolf. What can you say about that tune? Amazing. So groovy.
Number 391 on the countdown list. This is Philip Random here from his notes. He left a pile of vinyl and he also took notes, which he left, trying to explain what he was up to. Malcolm Kale was in my class in grade 7. I guess you could call him a bad kid because he smoked cigarettes, and rumor had it he'd even gotten drunk a few times. But he was small, quiet, didn't pose much threat, and anyway, we both walked home from school the same way, so we ended up hanging out a fair bit in his big house, which was almost always empty after school, no parents or brothers and sisters around to stop us digging through his dad's Playboys, sneaking a beer, cranking the stereo loud. But like pretty much every other kid I knew at the time, he lacked cool records. Maybe a few Beatles albums, some Rolling Stones, CCR, and definitely Steppenwolf, their first album and best, the one with Born to Be Wild on it and The Pusher. God damn him, we love that. Actual swearing on a record. But the track that stands up best now is Sookie Sookie, funky and strong, and at least as cool as John Kay's Shades.
And that's what we heard to begin the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show, Steppenwolf. So here we go. Round two, Nardwar versus Philip Random via Bill Mullen. Philip Random's 1,111 greatest records you probably never heard. What are we moving on to right now? Some plugs.
The plugs. The 671 selection on the list. Plugs. It's a track called Real 10. I'll just read what Mr. Random had to say about it. If I haven't seen Repo Man beginning to end 20 times, I've definitely seen it 17 times, but I still couldn't tell you how it ends exactly. Something to do with Otto getting into the car with Miller the Weirdo and going for a ride, but the car is nuclear-powered or something altogether more alien. And then what happens after that? Anything? Does the movie just end? Clearly it doesn't matter. Repo Man is a movie of scenes and moments with more superlative ones than any random 10 Oscar winners put together, one of which is that scene with the flying car, mainly because of the music, Real 10, by a band called The Plugs.
The Plugs on an Nardwar to Human Serviette Radio Show as part of Philip Random's 1,111 Greatest Records Ever Heard. What number was that for The Plugs? I don't think we told to the people.
Number 671.
Number 671.
We'll be right back. should go away. You should find another man. Should have cut it down. You get away. I can't stand you make it mad when I see you better hang up, watch your face. You come on home, change my mind. Say you. You're the one I must demand. If I find your one true, you're always sent in my way. And I say it's you. Will you hear to what I say? And I want you to go away. You get away. I can't stand you make me mad when I see you better pack up all your things. And I feel like doing some kidding, baby. When you hear to what I say, I want you to go away. You should find another man. I said you make my face become one. I want you to cut it down. You get away, I can't stand you get away, I can't stand you better hide and clutch your face. And I feel it. Everybody say you.
And you're still listening to the Nardwar the Human Serviette Radio Show with special guest DJ
Bill Mullen,
who is channeling Philip Random. You are not Philip Random. We had a caller, the Naked Poet. Thank you, Naked Poet, for phoning in. And what did the Naked Poet want to know there, Bill?
She was just trying to get a few things clear about the nature of how this all ended up landing in my lap, which is the best way. And as I said, it was really just a case of I'm an old friend of the guy. There's a lot of unfinished business. His daughter stumbled across all this, these albums and all these notes and, you know, boxes of stuff. It was at least a year after he disappeared. And she eventually got it to me and et cetera. And we've been, you know, it took a long time to sort of get the whole thing organized. In fact, I could go into it in depth how disorganized it all was. It's the reason why there's 1,111 selections, not only 1,000, because there were three different lists.
Philip Random's list, and we just heard right there, number 850, Trio. Could you please explain? That was quite interesting. Was that live? And it's ja-ja-ja, not
da-da-da. In fact, that's what Philip says, not to be confused with da-da-da, which you've definitely heard maybe on the radio way back when, in 1981, when it was a surprise international hit. Maybe on some Volkswagen commercial in the past few years, but the rest of that 1981 album was fun too. Simple, straight-up little riffs on just how simple stuff could be and yet be cool. Ja 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 was the punk number.
Trio, Ja Ja Ja, number 850 of Philip Random's 1,111 records that you probably have never heard but are the greatest records of all time. And before that, number 876, Aphrodite's Child.
Yeah. You always stand in my way. Yeah, that's a really weird one. Again, I'll just read.
Where did he find these records? This is from Greece. Where did he find all these records?
He actually talks about, I believe he talks about, Aphrodite's Child are a weird one coming out of Greece in the late 1960s, sort of a pop psychedelic outfit that managed to be both sonically extreme and sentimentally cloying, sometimes in the same song. But You Always Stand in My Way goes mostly for the extreme edge. Singer Demi Rousseau giving his wailing all while keyboardist Vangelis tears up things on lead Mellotron. I actually found this one in a yard sale sometime in the early 1990s, paid a buck for it. I remember the guy who sold it to me sort of scratching his head and mumbling, oh yeah, this record.
Sounded amazing. I've never heard that before. And I looked for more information on them, and they actually had an LP called 666. One of their later LPs was called 666.
Which is a great double concept album that's not in favor of Satan. It's just about that whole idea of the apocalypse and stuff, which is something that Philip Random gets into quite a bit.
And we began with number 671, the plugs. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. I just going to say the plugs. I thought it would be Raging Punk Rock, but it wasn't, was it?
No, that was, I think they were Alex Cox. He's the director of Repo Man and...
actually, been on an Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show before.
Sid and Nancy. I think they, for a while, they were his go-to band when he needed a little bit of theme music, because they have a few tracks on the Sid and Nancy soundtrack too. So... and for all I know, some punk rock, but I never, I don't remember hearing it. You mentioned 666. Yeah. This is actually from the website here. This is, there's a page called Rules and Ambiguities. Number 7, there is no clear explanation anywhere in Philip Random's notes as to what the apocalypse part of the countdown's official title is supposed to mean, because it's the all vinyl countdown and apocalypse. Not that he doesn't refer to it often, apocalypse. In fact, you might say he overaddresses it to the point of obsession and obfuscation. And here there's an actual quote from him. Maybe I just really like the word, the way it rolls off the tongue and speaks to the spirit of things, the end of all things, an unveiling of new things. The world ends in a blinding flash of brilliant light. You blink a few times, your eyes adjust, you realize you're looking at a great white curtain. The curtain part's revealing. I sometimes think I've lived my whole life in that moment of revealing.
Philip Random's 1,111 greatest records you probably never heard, a countdown show curated by Bill Mullen. And again, if you want to access all this information, not only on an Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show, but the full 1,111 records, randophonic.blogspot.ca. Now, kicking in at number 985, we have Guru Guru?
Yeah, these are all really low number or high numbers, these ones. But just a reminder that the countdown is actually getting very close to its ending. We're going to be finishing it up live here on CITR on June 8th.
In Vancouver, British Columbia,
yeah,
Canada.
Starting early, actually. We're going to start at 9 p.m. that night. Synaptic Sandwich are stepping aside that week so we can get everything done. But yeah, back to Guru Guru, because this was a long, long time ago. 985 on the countdown list. Track called Woman Drum. Krautrock weirdos getting strangely close to normal rock and roll, but not really. In what appears to be an attempt at an actual radio-friendly single. Nice try, guys. It would have been new to the world in around 1973, but I never heard it until at least 10 years later. Punk and then post-punk had to blow through my ears and soul. Had to blow through before my ears and soul were ready for such strangeness. Strangely, I do remember dancing to this once. I can't remember if it was before or after the alien showed up.
Such a good drum sound on this record as well. And these guys have tons of LPs. Was Philip totally into krautrock? He's got lots of krautrock on the list, doesn't he?
He's got the kind of krautrock collection that you could probably retire on if you traded it all in.
What about the drum sound on Guru Guru? Do you know anything more about the drum sound, how they got the great drum sound and all their other LPs? Because this is from, what record is this from?
It's an album called, it actually shows up in more than one Guru Guru album, but the one that we have it on is called Guru Guru, which is listed as 1973. I believe Connie Plonk was the engineer producer on it, and he's the same guy that did Can. He had obviously the brains and the ears to know how to make a drum sound cool.
So here we go. Guru Guru at number 985 with Woman Drum.
Woman Drum.
With the great drum sound. Bill Mullen curating Philip Random's 1,111 greatest records you've probably never
heard.
my time is almost through. Little left to do. After all I've tried for 3 years, seems like 30, seems like 30.
Yeah. go. Stand in your listening room and push your furniture against the walls.
And you're still listening to the Nardwar the Human Serviette Radio Show with special guest DJ
Bill Mullen,
helping to curate, or in fact curating, Philip Random's 1,111 greatest records you probably never heard. And we mentioned earlier the Naked Poet. The Naked Poet still was contacting me and was still a bit confused. The Naked Poet was wondering, again, Philip Random is this person that had this list and were following the list of these songs, and you found this list because one of Philip Random's relatives gave you the list and you knew Philip Random from driving cabs, right, Bill?
Yeah, we were old friends. His stepdaughter, actually.
And so he contacted you, his stepdaughter contacted you because, you know, you do a radio show and you thought, well, I'll put this all together. It's like a great radio show thing. Well, the Naked Poet was wondering, and I guess I'm still sort of confused and maybe wondering too, do you think that Philip Random faked his death and is living under another name somewhere else?
Well, first of all, Philip Random is another name. It's not his real name. It was back in the early days of punk. Everyone was renaming themselves, and he chose Philip Random. So there's that. So, yeah, and I'm not going to give away his real name. I don't think he was ever organized enough to actually fake his own death, but I think various circumstances happened. He had to disappear. That was clear. I think, I didn't want to get into it because, I mean, he vaguely touches on it with his notes, but of course he doesn't want...
Is he going to be mad that we're on the radio doing this? Because if he is alive, would he be like, man, I want to be on the radio? Because maybe he doesn't understand, you know, community radio, that sort of thing.
Oh, no, but he was actually a contributor
to... Does he think we're making money off him right now?
No,
does he think you're making money off him by doing this big countdown?
Well, maybe if we publish all this and figure out a way to monetize it, maybe. No, he was actually a contributor to radio I did back in the 80s. The first show I ever did at CITR was called Random Insomnia, way back when. Also Random Cacophony, a whole pile of shows in the 80s. He was the kind of guy that would show up after midnight. Never, I don't think he ever bought a membership, but he would show up and he would tape a few albums. But what was cool about him was he was always bringing in cool new stuff. So it was, you know, you would open the door for
him.
So
he would be honored that we're going through his list then.
Oh, yeah. Total.
And we're going through his list. We began there with the amazing Guru Guru.
Yes, that was Guru Guru, Woman Drum, which we talked about at the beginning. And in the middle, actually, should we talk about the last, whatever. Then we heard some Jesus Christ Superstar original cast recording, not to be confused with the movie, which isn't as good. That's from 1970. That was the temple in which, and here I'm quoting Philip, Jesus loses his cool when he discovers the sacred temple of Jerusalem has been taken over by the money changers, goes all punk rock on things. But seriously, when this original soundtrack recording, not to be confused with the movie version, gets to humming, it's as cool, as funky, as rockin' as any dozen satanic offerings. Of course, it helps having Deep Purple's future main man, Ian Gillan, playing the title role, leaving no sonic scenery unchewed. And then we heard the Beatniks just now, which was CIA.
On Jello Biafra's record label, right? Weren't they on Alternative Tentacles?
They were, yeah. And they played one amazing gig in Vancouver, like right around the end of the 80s, where they warmed up DOA. And it was just, DOA were always best when a hot band was on before them. You know, it was like they just rose. So it was just one of those classic concerts. And about that, Philip Random says, before there was a Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, before there was a Spearhead, there were the Beatniks, fronted by a guy named Michael Franti, and a mixed bag in every possible way. White, black, Asian, funk, industrial punk, power tools, chunks of raw metal, genuine fire. It all caught Jello Biafra's attention, and maybe the CIA's as well. And man, did they kick it live.
What number was that of Philip Random's 1,111 greatest records you probably never heard?
That was low on the list. That was 1,080.
And right now, we're going to kick into number 341.
Yeah, this is about as different from the Beatniks as you can get. This is David Allen, a track called Poet for Sale, about which Mr. Random notes, it doesn't get much hippier or dippier than this. David Allen plucking away on an acoustic guitar, waxing loose and cosmic on various things relevant to the plight of the poet in modern times, except he suddenly starts to bite at the end, like he's been doing a Rip Van Winkle for the past decade, but he's suddenly snapped awake and holy shit, it's 1977, punk rock's erupting off in the distance, and this anger stuff, it feels good. It feels like life itself.
it's incredible, too. It's amazing he's still rocking, too. He's still rocking, like pumping out the records. He's like the Soft Machine founder. That's what he's most famous
yeah.
for, isn't it?
Yeah, he was also, yeah, right there at the beginning of Soft Machine.
So here we have David Allen, Poet for Sale, number 341, as part of Philip Random's 1,111 Greatest Records. You've probably never heard, again, randophonic.blogspot.ca to get the entire list. Here's David Allen at 341.
Real live one, yeah. Yeah, it's a real live person for sale. I have my values anyway. Clothing, no extra charge, of course. Buy me now, go on. Buy me now. Save yourself. Get a gnome for your home. Or an angel in a taxi cab. Or a corpse in a London bus. Or a fairy in your dairy milking petty cash. All you gotta do is buy me and I'm yours. All yours. No extra charge. And my hair is real, I tell you. It's real. I beat as I sleep, as I dream. You could have me today. No deposit. And I'm interest-free, too. Interest-free. Isn't that enough? Take me and I will love you. Love you.
big human circle of handholding, including the members of Skinny Puppy.
Amazing.
It was a new age experience, I tell you that.
And that is not in Philip Random's notes, is it?
No, that's personal experience. I've also lived a bit, but you know, that'll be another radio show.
And continuing on right now with Philip Random's 1,111 greatest songs of all time you've probably never heard. Again, check out randophonic.blogspot.ca for the full list. We are moving into some territory here that is very dear to you, isn't it?
Which one's that?
We are moving into something that is very, very dear to you, the Mothers of Invention.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were going to get to them at the end of this set, but we could play them off the top.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is the confusion that I have.
Yes.
I get it all mixed up.
Yeah.
I got the Mothers of Invention mixed up with Robert Fripp.
It's two separate numbering systems.
And I didn't even say Fripp, right? Sorry, do people get Mother of Invention, Fripp, and Gabriel all mixed up? What would Frank Zappa think of me getting him mixed up with Robert Fripp?
That's a good question. Frank Zappa, I'm actually reading a book about him right now. He doesn't mention Robert Fripp, but he was apparently a big fan of Nektar, which was a new discovery for me. They were progressive psychedelic rock out of Germany, but they were actually English people. Like they were like the Beatles had gone to Germany to play in clubs, and they ended up becoming a progressive rock band. But that's another story. The 700 track on Philip Random's list, which we're going to listen to now. And by the way, the one of the reasons we're hyping this right now is that the countdown is climaxing in the next couple of shows. Basically on June 8th, Vancouver time, we're starting at 9 p.m. on CITR. We're going to do the final 20 or so songs, get to number one. And then who knows what happens after that? Maybe start all over again. But anyway, the 700 track, which was a long, long time ago, this got played. Robert Fripp and Peter Gabriel, Exposure. And this is actually a Randophonic edit. That's something we haven't talked about, but basically, among other things, Philip Random left us a pile of vinyl, but there's also various reel-to-reel tapes where he'd improved songs. And I'll just let him explain this here. Exposure is a song, for lack of a better word, that prog rock masters Peter Gabriel and Robert Fripp put together for Gabriel's second album. While punk was erupting in the background, bleak, abrasive, creepy, it was determined, it seems, to drive some kind of a wedge between them and their previous audience. Then, to drive the point home, Fripp made it the title track of his 1979 solo album, his first release after 5 years in the wilderness, laying low, hanging with various mystics and disciplinarians. Attached now is a different singer, a woman named Terry Roche, who took things even further than Mr. Gabriel, to the point of hurting. Because, to quote Mr. Fripp, the old world characterized by large, unwieldy, and vampiric organizations was dead. And what did the new one sound like? Small, independent, mobile, intelligent, and definitely up for a fight.
Number
700.
Robert Fripp and Peter Gabriel, Exposure, a rando
edit
on Philip Random's 1,111 greatest songs you've probably never heard of all time.
It is impossible to achieve the aim without suffering. Without suffering.
Continue. To bear with unbearable sorrow and run where the brave never go. To right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or cause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world.
that one man, torn and covered in scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star.
And you're still listening to the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show with guest DJ
Bill Mullen.
And Bill, what have we been doing here today on the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show?
Trying to make sense of what I've been doing on the radio for the last almost year and a half anyway, which is counting down those 1,111 greatest records you probably haven't already heard as selected for us by my old friend Philip Random.
And you've been on the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show before, counting down some of the music. We've been doing different sort of numbering, haven't we, in a countdown here? It's not in order what we've been
doing.
No,
we're just sort of kind of randomly, as Philip would no doubt approve, grabbing tracks.
And last time, we played some Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And there was some discussion about Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Noticed a bit of online discussion about Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I think people were just sort of surprised to hear it and reminded, as I was when I dug it up, that's actually a pretty hot track, Takata from Brain Salad Surgery. I mean, how do you go wrong with an album title like that? You know, it's.
And we just heard right there, clocking in at number 578.
Speaking of brains, that was the Mothers of Invention, Frank Zappa himself and band, Who Are the Brain Police? About which Mr. Random notes, it's 1966, and it seems only Frank Zappa realizes how freaky and weird things are about to get, and he never even did drugs beyond cigarettes and coffee. Nevertheless, he could see them, the brain police, or more to the point, he felt them, because you can't see the brain police, can you? They're within you, hiding behind your devices of oracular perception, taking notes. It's true.
The Mothers of Invention, Who Are the Brain Police?
From their that's actually from their first album, Freak Out, which is an amazing, amazing record for
number 578. And
yes,
before that,
that was Scott Walker, that odd bit of profoundness. The Impossible Dream, that was 101 on the countdown list. Rarified Air, and this is where Philip, every now and then in his notes, he starts talking about a movie that never got made, and he starts referencing it here. Because the movie never got made, not properly anyway, sort of going down the road, the punk version, two losers stumbling around, roading for various loser bands, having shambolic adventures. At some point, they end up in an old-school piano bar, a guy doing half-assed solo takes on various standards, until one of our heroes slips him a 50, it's been a good night, requests the Impossible Dream, and it turns out the singer is no less than Scott Walker himself, so it's perfect, the theme song for the whole initiative, the big dream never being more impossible than it was in, say, 1985. And thus all the more reason to dream it, because we are human, damn it, our souls demand it.
Scott Walker, The Impossible Dream, clocking in at number 101 of Philip Random's 1,111 Greatest Songs of All Time You've Probably Never Heard. And thank you, Bill, for bringing all these songs out to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. And as you mentioned before, June 8th is the big finale. That's when people should tune in, right?
I get the last 20
in to CITR in Vancouver, Canada, www.citr.ca.
Yeah, and we'll be starting early that night. We usually start at 11. We're starting at 9 that evening. Synaptic Sandwich are making room for us. Thank you very much, Sid.
How long have you been doing this? Like, how long does it take to go to full countdown?
Well, we haven't done it every week because every now and then something gets in the way. But we started on November 5th, 2011, so a year and a half.
And the final, it's going to be final 20, not 10, eh?
It's going to be a little more than 20. I just was trying to do the math the other day, and yeah, it'll be something like 20 or 23 songs. And
people can get information on it too if they don't listen live at Rando.
Randophonic, PH, not F, randophonic.blogspot.ca or .com. I think they both get you there.
And to end the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today, something by The Clash at number 87 and 88.
Well, it's only got, yeah. Oh, actually, only 87. That's confusing.
I like the way you said 87, 88, possibly. That's interesting.
I think that's because two Clash songs got played in a row there. This is important. He doesn't mention here, so I'll just mention it. I was doing calculations of the band, of what band is on the list the most, or what artists, and people like David Bowie and Bob Dylan are high, but no one was higher than the Clash. They have more selections on the list than any other artist, making them maybe not the greatest band ever, but definitely the only band that mattered for a while anyway. And here I'll just quote what Philip Random has to say about If Music Could Talk. Because it was the Clash more than any other band or artist or guru or priest or hockey coach or teacher that finally dragged me kicking and screaming into maturity. I hope I'll never confess to adulthood. And I can even pinpoint the moment. It was late spring 1982. I'm high on LSD, alone at my parents' place, way the hell out in suburbia, perilously close to the edge of a nasty dark star for all kinds of screwed up personal reasons, when suddenly I'm aware of some great emergency going on down in the direction of the freeway, sirens and smoke. So rather than just continuing to implode, I'm suddenly grabbing my Sony Walkman, going for a walk through all these vibrating acres of suburbia, all these strangers' lives and dramas pulsing through and around me, the call of the sirens and the rising smoke reminding me that something pivotal is happening, perhaps quite tragic. But unlike sitting alone back at my parents', it's not scaring me. I'm up to it. Because I've got the right soundtrack, and I made the call. I committed to it. I chose movement and possible adventure over inertia and certain suffocation. And the song that's playing as I crack this epiphany, as the location of the fire comes into view, somebody's house, a bungalow on Westboro Crescent, the whole block like a fire zone, fire and police lights cutting through all the smoke and fading light of dusk. The song is If Music Could Talk, from Sandinista. As if to clarify that that's precisely what it had been doing, talking to me. Welcome to the rest of your life, man. So much of it destined to be lived in twilight zones such as this at pivotal moments of collapse. Which is why the right soundtrack is so damned important.
What did you think of Sandinista? Like, Philip Random enjoyed it here, obviously, number 87 or 88. Yeah. What did you think of Sandinista, Bill?
I'm definitely on the Sandinista is probably, maybe not their best album, but my favorite album of theirs. Hard to argue with London Calling being the best.
What do you think about songs like Stand By Me, you know, the unnamed Stand By Me?
But that's on London Calling.
Right, that's what I meant. But what do you think of tracks like that? What if Philip would have thought of tracks like that? You know, the more commercially Mick Jonesy ones.
Yeah. I mean, Mick Jones is better in The Clash than he is solo. His whole career lays that out. But the great thing about that track is they didn't even list it. I mean, the Clash had this kind of magic that, you know, that no band had had since the Beatles, of just being mysterious, strange, and, as has been said about them, the only band that mattered for a while anyway. And the great thing about Sandinista is it's just so dense. There's so much stuff on it. And that's why I would list it as a favorite, and I'm pretty sure Philip did too, because it's... You can spend the whole night with that record and not get bored.
And we're also going to try to jam in a few more here, Bill.
Yeah, we might hear some Buttholes, Sweatloaf, which is their cover of a Black Sabbath song, sort of. Philip wrote a lot about this. I think we'll just go with the lead bit here, which is, because somebody had to do it, finally deliver so-called rock and roll that was the manifestation of everything any decent God-fearing parent or businessman or teacher or priest or shopkeeper or hockey coach had ever feared about it, and worse. Like that family of three that went missing near the Butthole Surfers compound in rural Texas, the young boy murdered by the band, barbecued and force-fed to his father, who went mad and was later found wandering naked at the side of the road, babbling, claiming he knew the truth about who killed JFK and the Jonestown massacres, and how the Trilateral Commission figured into it all. Meanwhile, the mother just joined the band, danced with them on stage, naked, and helped sell merchandise afterward. So that's about the Buttholes.
And before that, we're going to try to jam in one extra one that I thought would be interesting, because you had brought it up there a few times, that we should actually get and play some Sir Doug.
The Sir Douglas Quintet plus two, not to be confused with the Sir Douglas Quintet, which was, it's the same, I'll just read, this was number 908 on the list, from a 1968 album called The Honky Blues. Take a 60s Texas bad boy who really just wanted to be a Beatle, dump him into Summer of Love, Haight Ashbury, San Francisco, while on the run from a marijuana bust, and you've got the recipe for some pretty serious vibrations, man. Serious enough to percolate through the decades and finally find me in fall 1991 on some unnamed isolated island, seriously wondering if the world was going to end at midnight New Year's Eve. Half seriously, anyway. Anyway, the song settled me.
Well, thanks for coming into the Nerdware to Human Serviette radio show, Bill Mullen, curator of Philip Random's 1,111 greatest songs of all time you probably haven't heard. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Just one more reflection on what it's actually called. It's called the All Vinyl Countdown and Apocalypse. And again, the answers to most questions are on the website.
And here's The Clash at number 87 or 88.
Yes.
87 or 88.
If music could talk.
On the Nerdware to Human Serviette radio show. Thanks so much, Bill, and doot doot a loot doo.
Doot doo.
Music can talk. someday, baby, sooner or later. Oh, you blow your horn, baby.
A funny thing about regret is that it's better to regret something you have done than to regret something you haven't done. And by the way, if you see your mom this weekend, would you be sure and tell her,
Satan! Satan! Satan!
Yeah.
And you're still listening to the Nardwuar the Human Serviette Radio Show. Again, all these tracks have been selections from Bill Mullen's show, Randophonic, that is on at 11 p.m. on CITR here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, on Saturday night. Saturday at 11 p.m. Tune in this Saturday so you can hear what number. Bill, what are you up to right now on Saturday night?
I think we'll be starting at number 38.
Number 38 this Saturday.
Inside the top 40.
Number 101.9 FM, www.citr.ca. So we just heard right there the BH Surfers, the Butthole Surfers. Before that, the Sir Doug Plus Two. Just quickly, though, Bill, I know you're still hanging around here in an Nardwuar the Human Serviette Radio Show. The Sir Doug Plus Two, that was a pretty rare one, wasn't it? It's not the Sir Douglas Quintet.
No, that's an album, like I said, like as Philip Random said, he recorded that in San Francisco right at the peak of the hippie thing. While he was literally on the run from a marijuana bust, I've done that much research into it. But you can't find that record anywhere. It's, well, except I found it. Or perhaps Philip did. Anyway, I think we both had it. Anyway, it was it was found in a bin in Victoria, British Columbia. So.
And we began with some Clash there as well from Vancouver, British Columbia. Did you ever see the Clash?
Twice. I saw them twice.
Whereabouts?
I didn't see them when I should have seen them. I didn't. I could have gone to the show at the Commodore that everyone, you know, everyone that was cool saw, but I wasn't cool until at least the early 1980s. No, I saw them at Kerrisdale Arena, which was good. It was the Combat Rock Tour, and then later on, it was the Clash that was missing a couple of key members.
I still loved it on the This Is England album. Crap album.
That show they did at the Pacific Coliseum, and it was Joe Strummer and Joe Simonon and three new guys.
Paul Simonon.
Right. That was a great show. They played, essentially, it was like a Clash cover band with Joe Strummer and Simonon in it. So, you know, like it wasn't perfect, but in a way, but they played all the best songs. And I actually ran into Joe Strummer once and brought that show up, and he said, "Oh yeah, Vancouver, we were actually good that night," because he hated that tour. But apparently that show stood out. So
where did you run into him?
At some art opening when the Pogues were in town, and he was singing lead for the Pogues, and a friend of mine he basically had a joint that he'd finished with, and he just passed it to the person next to him, and it ended up being Joe Strummer. So he ended up buying us all beer. It was good. Great guy.
But you did see the definitive Butthole Surfers gig.
Yes, that was 1987, as I recall, maybe 88, at Graceland. And that was the one where the rumor that spread was that I heard this from Jay Scott, who was the promoter on the gig. He got a call the next morning from Gibby Haynes' dad saying, "Can you confirm the rumor I've heard that my son was murdered on stage last night in Vancouver?" And what had happened was, in the midst of about 20 minutes of solid feedback and strobe lights, Gibby, who was very high on mushrooms, fell and cut himself badly, but he didn't die. But that's how rumors used to spread in the old days, even without the internet. Word got out.
Amazing. Thank you again, Bill, for coming into the Nardwuar the Human Serviette Radio Show. Bonus doot toots, doot to loot to.
Doot to.
Bonus doot toots. And speaking of rock and roll, this Saturday night in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, thank you, Kara, for sending me this CD. Stryker are going to be playing, a great, great metal band from Edmonton. Stryker are going to be playing, and we're going to play a track by Stryker, Forever by Stryker. And they're playing this Saturday, tomorrow night, Saturday, June 1st, at Funky Winterbeans.
Winkerbeans.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Wendy 13, for making that mistake there. Have you been to the Winkerbeans?
I was there before they took the bullet holes out of the wall.
Baboom. What was it called then?
It was still called Funky Winkerbeans. There was at least one person murdered there, maybe two. It was this weird incident in Vancouver where some guy got drunk down there, shot somebody, at least one person, maybe two, got in his car, drove to Richmond, walked into the RCMP and shot the first cop he saw as well. It was quite brutal.
When was that?
Late 70s, early 1980s. But basically the cool thing to do in those days would be to go drink down there and note the bullet holes, which were still in the wall. So
go on down tomorrow night to Funky's to go see Stryker from Edmonton. And here's a sampling of Stryker on an Nardwuar the Human Serviette Radio Show with Forever.